I wish I had that guy's voice, right? Like, man, that's awesome. No, Kate, that was a scary voice. Man, I think it'd be cool. Well, today is an exciting Sunday. It's a little bit different in that we have a guest preacher, and so I'm going to introduce him. Some of y'all may not know him, but he's actually the founding pastor of this church, and so, little jokes. But we are so excited for today because we've done this once before in sending a church out. But today is another era of getting to multiply the influence in the gospel that the Lord has brought about here in Norse Ferry Community Church. And so it's an exciting time. But just to kind of set the stage for that, I want to read a quote. J.D. Greer says this in a book that he wrote a foreword to called Hero Maker. And he says this, that those who care the most about the future of the Great Commission will devote themselves to multiplying and sending, not gathering and counting. That those that care the most about the Great Commission, it's about the ability to send out and the ability to multiply and the ability to replicate what you're doing rather than it is to draw a big crowd or to have a big seating capacity. And that's really been the heart of Norse Ferry all along, is that we would be a sending church, a multiplying church, that it wouldn't just be about drawing people to one location, but it would be raising people up in order to send them out to other locations. And so that's part of our vision, is that across the state, and especially here in Shreveport, that people wouldn't have to leave their community in order to find a healthy church. That people wouldn't have to leave their neighborhoods in order to drive to another community in order to find a church that preached the gospel and to find a community of believers that would live life with them. That our vision and our hope has been that we might continue to raise up people and send them back into the communities in which they live to be the church, to be the gospel, to live in such a way that they impact their neighborhood in a way that people see who Jesus is and are drawn to him, to extend the hope of the gospel and all of the implications of what that means to transform a community. And so that is our vision, and it's an exciting day because every now and then when you keep working at these things, then you look up and you go, oh, we're doing it. Like, we're doing it. And so today is one of those special days. I want to have Tracy go ahead and come up, but part of this idea of this book of Hero Maker is that you can either be a hero or you can make heroes. That there's a reality that if you are the hero, then you draw people to yourself. But as a hero maker, then you continue to see gifts and abilities in others and you continue to inspire them to go and do it. And I think that Tracy really is a hero maker. You know, obviously in the sense of handing off to me as senior pastor here in order that he can focus on multiplying and continuing to raise up others. But I think one of the things that this book draws out is that the biggest transition happens in the handoff. It happens in a relay, right? That you have sprinters that can run really fast, but in a relay, it's all about the handoff and the ability to transfer leadership and be able to say, no, go do it. Doesn't have to be my way, but go do it. And so Tracy has stepped into this role as pastor of multiplication and founding pastor in order that he can continue to use his giftedness to raise up leaders and to raise up churches to say, I see these things in you, now go do it. And so I'm super excited as he preaches this morning and as we get to send out this group that is going to go into Shreveport to be the gospel in the community in which they live. And so, it's yours.
This is another handoff. All right. Thank you, brother. Hey, I am extremely blessed to be able to be here this morning and to do what we're doing because God provided such a capable leader to hand off the reins of the weekly responsibility here as I was able to transition to this role of founding pastor of multiplication, which means I still serve as chairman of the elders to help guide and direct this church, but the daily responsibilities and the weekly responsibilities were handed to Jared with the staff, and that frees me to focus on multiplication. And so my aim today is to make a compelling argument from the scriptures that the Great Commission mandates that every single one of you, every single believer, participates with their church in planting and replanting churches. If I missed anybody, if I haven't offended you already, then let me try again. The gospel, the Great Commission, my argument this morning from scriptures is that the Great Commission requires, mandates that every single believer participates with their church in planting and replanting churches. Father God, we ask for your help this morning, realizing what your scriptures teach us. Lord, we praise you for this wonderful day. It's an exciting day in the life of our church. It's a culmination of 18 years of work and blessings on your part, Lord. And we just ask this morning, as we consider the Great Commission, how can each one of us participate in what you've called us to do? We ask you to speak to us this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit through the proclamation of your word. It's in Jesus, our Savior's name, that I pray. Amen. All right, so let's define some terms. What is the Great Commission? What is the church? And what is church planting and replanting? First of all, the Great Commission. We're going to spend our time this morning on that. It comes from the text Matthew 28, 19 through 20. So we'll come back to that in just a minute. So what is a church? When you think about what is a church, you don't think much about your preconceived notions or your ideas of what makes up a church, because you just kind of, it's just ingrained in your everyday life until you go and say, all right, well, let's plant a church. Like in Africa, our church has been involved in planting churches in South Sudan, Africa for years. And Shannon Lewis and Carrie Lewis, our missionaries on the ground there, would report back, well, we've got 8 to 12 churches, but it all depends on what a church is. Well, they didn't have a building. They met under a tree. And when do you know you've become a church? So let's give some elements of what is the true definition of a church. There are 4 key things you're looking for. First of all, and I use the letter C-L-O-D, Claude. I don't know why, but that's how I'm remembering this. C, a covenant community. You have to have a group of people that have a defined line around them that says you're in and you're out. And that's for accountability purposes, that's for care, that's for knowing who's in this flock of sheep. There's a covenant community. The second is leaders. They appoint their own leaders. They're not under someone else's leadership authority. They have their own leaders that have risen up and said, we will voluntarily submit to your leadership. They appoint their own leaders. And the 2 offices in the scriptures are elders and deacons. Next, we see sound doctrine. Doctrine is crucial, that they maintain their own sound doctrine. They are committed to the scriptures and saying, we will maintain integrity of these teachings that we have had handed down to us through the scriptures. Finally, you have the ordinances. Sorry about out of order there, but you've got the O, ordinances. So it's C-L-D-O. Let me just flip that around. But you've got O for ordinances. That's key. I don't think a lot of us maybe pick up on that because some people practice this differently, but I think it's clear in scriptures. One of the things that defines a body, a church, is they participate in the ordinances of baptism and Lord's Supper together. That's part of their ownership as a body, is that they remember the Lord through the ordinances. So you've got covenant community, you've got leadership, you've got ordinances, and you have sound doctrine or teaching. When you have those things in place, that's a church. Now let me ask you this, what's missing? What is it that you thought in your mind, the first thing when I said, what do you have to have for a church? We all know better, but we want to say, well, you got to have a building. That's going to be the first question people ask. Well, where are y'all meeting? We get it all the time, and we're like, no idea. Well, then what are y'all doing? I thought y'all were starting a church. We are. Well, who's going to be your pastor? Well, what are they thinking? Well, you're not a church until you have a paid professional. Who are you paying to do all the work? That's a misunderstanding. That's not biblical. This church is appointing their own elders, and they are already establishing who's going to be their lead teacher and who's going to help fill in the teaching. And they're a covenant community at the members meeting next week, Sunday evening on 4th. We're going to, under the authority of Norris Ferry, going to vote to authorize them to establish themselves as covenant members of this mission church of Norris Ferry. And they will be a church. They will take the Lord's Supper together. They will baptize new members into their community. They'll be a beautiful, glorious, intimate, wonderful, exciting adventure of faith church, like you see in the scriptures, without a building, without a paid professional. All of that is added as needed, but that doesn't make them a church. Denomination doesn't make them a church. Having the worship band, though we're taking three of the worship leaders off the stage today, but that doesn't make us an official church. Certain programs don't make them a church. What makes them a church is they're a covenant community gathered around the authority of Jesus Christ, appointing their own leaders according to the scriptures, maintaining the sound doctrines of the scriptures, and participating in the Lord's Supper and baptism together as a body. Not as individuals out there, but together as a body. That is a church. Next, let's consider what is a church plant and replant. I'm going to use those terms throughout synonymously, but there's replanting, there's revitalization, there's planting, but the most important thing that I want you to know is in general, planting is starting from scratch. Right now, they're kind of a plant. Replanting is restarting a church that is no longer thriving and reaching their community or relevant in their community. The gospel's not going forth. It's not a great witness to them because to the community about Christ, because just through things, it's not judgmental. It's just over time, if the next generation isn't reached, if the next generation isn't reached here, you will need to be replanted one day. And so the membership ends up dwindling down and to the point where there needs to be a reboot, a restart, a replant. Anywhere in between. The point is this. There is not a call to individualism. There's a call to churches in the Great Commission. Churches need to be established. They need to be nourished. They need to be maintained. And they need to multiply. Healthy churches multiply like everything else God created. Healthiness multiplies. Living things that are healthy multiply. So the idea is there's a multiplication of churches built into, integrated into this Great Commission. Okay, so let's see what the Great Commission is and see if I can convince you that every single believer is mandated in the Great Commission to participate in church planting and planting with their church. The Great Commission is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That is what is often referred to as the Great Commission. Why is it called the Great Commission? Well, it's because it's the final words of the resurrected Savior Jesus Christ before he ascends into heaven. And we know final words are always the most important, right? There's just a profound effect when someone's last words are this. Now, let's think about the context. Let's think about what Jesus has been doing in the pages of scriptures. Matthew records and the Gospels record his journey, his life, and we've been studying it in Mark. Jesus is the arrival of the long-awaited Redeemer, the Messiah, the promised King of God's kingdom, the one fulfilling God's promises to reestablish his glory over every corner of the globe, over all of the earth. And Jesus shows up in the Gospels proclaiming the gospel, the good news, the King is here, the kingdom has arrived in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news that anyone who is saved, that anyone who is a sinner can be saved by grace through the works of Jesus, through the merits of Jesus, through the righteousness of Jesus and not their own. And when they come to faith in Christ, they are participants in his kingdom and they are renewed and they are born again and they are transformed. And so the way that God is transforming the earth to his glory is by transforming individuals through Jesus and his gospel. And so as Jesus went around to proclaim the kingdom is here, people responded. He called them out to himself. And that word called out, the Greek word ekklesia, is the word for church. The church, by definition, is literally the called out ones. And so the church are those who are called out of the generation of this world to Christ, into a community. And that's what we see Jesus doing. He calls the 12 to himself, and then he calls 72 to himself. And so we see he is making disciples who are making disciples until he has a multitude of disciples. He goes to the cross. He dies on the cross to pay for their sins. He resurrects from the grave, and he meets them. He gathers his disciples. And the text, in the context of what we're reading, it says, he says to all his disciples, all authority under heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says. And so I have this suggestion that you might or might not participate in. Make disciples. Is that what he says? Is that what he says? No. He says all authority of God is in me, the resurrected Savior, and I tell you with an imperative command, make disciples. Do what I've been doing. In this text, there's one command. It's the imperative, make disciples. That's the command of the Great Commission. There's three participles which help us understand what goes along with making disciples. What activities are commanded in the Great Commission? It's going, baptizing, and teaching. Going as you go, baptizing them, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. Now, I ask you, when you hear of those activities, make disciples, he's telling make disciples, baptizing, and teaching. What are those activities making you think of? A church. I think if, though, I would challenge you, I think if I had asked you before we started, is the Great Commission, if I asked you, is the Great Commission optional? I think all of you would say, absolutely not. It is absolutely a responsibility for every one of us. But if I asked you, is church planting and replanting optional? I think many of us would say, yeah, that's not the only way to do it. That's not the main way to do it. It's one way to do it, and I think that's good. But I think we all need to be sharing our faith. And I would say, absolutely, individually, we're sharing our faith. We're evangelizing. But that apart from the church growing, being healthy, and multiplying is not the Great Commission in and of itself. And I want to show you scripture after scripture to build that out from an individualistic mindset of just personally sharing the gospel. It's not less than that, but it's more than that. It includes not you just going and sharing the gospel and finding some water and baptizing someone and personally teaching them. That is all part of incorporating them into the body of Christ. So did Jesus expect these activities to be carried out by individuals in isolation, or did he have something else in mind? I would argue he clearly had more in mind. First of all, we start with this Great Commission. He is speaking to his disciples, this group of disciples, at least the 12, but from the context, it looks like there was also many others disciples present. Also, when you read the Book of Acts, which is the history of what happened in the church, what happened after Jesus proclaimed the gospel and resurrected and ascended, excuse me, we see what they understood this great commission to mean. We look at what they did. And what we see, for example, is Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. And this was a key foundational verse for the establishment of Norris Ferry, and it's a key verse for the establishment of this next church. Listen to what it says and describes as going on in Acts 2, 41. Right before this, Peter preaches the gospel. The Spirit moves powerfully, and many are getting saved, and they are gathering together. And it says, so those who received his word were what? Baptized. They were immersed into the waters, but also immersed into this community. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And what did they do? They, plural, devoted themselves together to the apostles' teaching, that sound doctrine, and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, both dinner and lunch, but also the Lord's Supper is implied there, the ordinances, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, the prayers, and all came upon every soul, not just a select few, but on the church, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. There's this covenant community developing. And day by day, attending the temple gathering, the large group gathering together, and breaking bread in their homes. And they received their food with glad and generous hearts, and they're praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What a glorious picture of the fulfillment of the Great Commission, and we see it becomes a church. No special anything beyond what we've described made them a church. But they became the church as the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ called them out to themselves, out of the world community into a new community of faith found and based in Jesus Christ. And so the Lord is making his church. He's establishing his church. And then if you keep reading in Acts chapter 4, verses 27 and following, it says that the church prayed as the gospel went out. And what were they praying? They were praying for boldness against the hostility that they were facing when they shared the gospel. So the church together is participating in this multiplication through their prayer. They're participating by being healthy church members, and they're participating by praying and undergirding this multiplication, this spreading of the gospel throughout their city. They're participating through prayer. I hope you're hearing that. So if I rattled you a little bit at the beginning when I said, you've got to participate in this, that doesn't mean that every single one of you has to go or you're a second-class citizen. It means that every single believer should be on their knees praying and undergirding the spread of the gospel, the multiplication throughout the city and beyond in prayer. And then in Acts, we see them appoint leaders. We see them appoint deacons over them. And we see Paul going on the missionary journeys throughout the book of Acts and proclaiming the gospel. And people are called out to faith in Jesus Christ. And there's these clumps and gatherings of people all throughout the land. And then what does Paul say to Titus in Titus 1, chapter 1, verse 5? Look at what he says in Titus 1, verse 5. He says, Titus, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So Paul is telling Titus, evangelism is not all that we're trying to do. Evangelism is absolutely fundamental and absolutely the most important thing we can do. But then we need to order them, put things into order, into churches, appoint elders, establish churches in every town of Crete. That's what we're doing. That's the Great Commission, is to proclaim the gospel from neighbors to nations, as our mission statement says. We exist to glorify God by loving Christ, Christians, neighbors to nations, proclaiming that gospel, and then putting things in order, appointing elders, establishing churches all throughout our city and beyond to spread the glory of God for the good of this city. Put things in order, appoint elders, establish churches in every town in that city. So when we think about this, what is a church? I want us to turn our attention to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. Listen to what the activities of the church. This gets to the elders and the church. I want you to consider who's doing what in the church. Paul says, this is kind of a chronological, historical tracing of what God did leading up to the church. He says, he gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, and then shepherd teachers. That's what the elders are, the shepherd teachers, to do what? The elders are, the shepherd teachers are to do what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. They're not paid professionals to do the ministry. They're men who have met certain requirements in the scriptures to say, you equip the saints, equip them to do the works of the ministry. And the saints are to do the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, that is, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Christ is this glorious head of the church, and the body is to mature to be fit for such a glorious head. And that is the work of the body itself, to build itself up. Healthy churches build themselves up so that they're no longer like children tossed to and fro by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine or human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, they are to speak the truth in love to each other. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Christ, the one from whom the whole body, joined together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part of the body is working properly, it makes the body grow so that the body builds itself up in love. Do you hear who's doing what? Who's doing all the work? Who's doing all the ministry? Who's fulfilling the Great Commission? Every single believer that makes up the body of Christ. Yeah, there's some elders given, but their job is simply to kind of help equip them to do this work of building up each other, speaking the truth in the context of loving community. That's the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Shepherd teachers helping the saints disciple each other, model it, live it out, explain it, challenge, encourage, love, pray, support. Be the church, the glorious body of Christ. This is the work of the Great Commission. It's not a few select missionaries being sent out. It's not just that. It's not just a few people being called out and, hey, we'll pay you to go do all that stuff the Bible talks about. The Great Commission is fulfilled by you. How in the world is this city going to be transformed to the glory of God? By you. Not me, not Jared. By you. The work of the Great Commission, spreading the gospel, planting healthy churches, replanting healthy churches, who make disciples, is the responsibility of every believer. Every believer who comes to faith is to be immersed into a loving, covenant, protective community, that intimate church family where they mature and they grow and then they multiply, because that's what healthy organisms do until it is spread to the end of the earth. So our corner of the globe is right here. throughout our city and beyond wherever God gives us. So is this an optional activity? Absolutely not. This is the responsibility of every single person who comes to faith in Christ. This is his final, Jesus' final authoritative word to his people. You make disciples, and disciples make disciples in the context of a church. So every single one of us can participate. How can you participate? Begin by being a healthy member, covenant member of a church. If you're a believer and you're out there on your own, that is not God's will for your life. God's will is that you incorporate, immerse into a body of believers. If you're a member of this body, then you can fundamentally, profoundly participate. Let me tell you, you think prayer's not a big deal until you go and try to do this. And then you're all of a sudden reminded, oh, I hope to pray. And nobody wants to be replanted, right? No one wants to change. And we're going, let's go change the world, right? Please pray. Pray for this team. Here's some ways you can pray. Pray for wisdom and discernment for the church. For the church replant. And for the overall multiplication strategy in the city. Pray that God would grant us favor, that God would grant them favor, that God would grant us favor throughout our city, and that churches that are struggling would be open to being replanted and to start anew, reaching their community for Christ, that they would see that as a beautiful thing and not threatening. We're not going and saying we're going to plant Norris Ferry here. We're not bringing our name with it. It's not about us. It's about the gospel and the kingdom, and we're saying we have people, we have money, and we want to help. Pray God would unite healthy churches in the spirit of cooperation for replanting churches that will spread the glory to transform this city. That all the churches in town would be of one mind and one accord, that we are not about our own kingdom, we are about Jesus' kingdom. And finally, pray about your own personal expression of obedience to God's great commission. Lord willing, this is only one of many. We are praying that God gives us the opportunity. After this one is up and going, I'm going to be calling your name. What is God calling you to do in your particular expression of obedience to the Great Commission? So now I want to commission some of our own body. It's painful. We grieve. It's also super exciting. Who are they? I won't make you stand, but raise your hand if you're here and I call your name out. They are members of our church. I think all of them live north of 3132, which was kind of how this began, is the word of, hey, if you live north of 3132, would you be willing to pray and maybe even consider being a part of this work? And the ones who responded as of date are these: Shelby Brannon. Would you raise your hand? All right. I'm going to go a little quicker now, now that you know how it works. Stephanie Springer, Emily Smith and her family, Logan and Hillary Slade, David and Jennifer Googe and their family, Steve and Angie Carter, and their family is in college, so we'll let them figure out what they're doing, right? Doug and Leslie Dixon and their family. There's a church plant right there. Austin and Elise Roberts and their little baby families, family. Rupert and Haynes Lang. Rupert's the one up here that does this when he plays. Dylan and MC Morgan. Not sitting together, they're having marital strife. I'm just kidding. That's my daughter and son-in-law. I'm only joking. Riley and Courtney Scopp. Ryan and Sarah Burton and their child who has not yet been born. Carson and Madison Huckabee and their child who has not yet been born. and Colin and Kinsey Moran, and their child who has not yet been born. If you didn't know that, with permission, they're expecting as well. So we will have a good nursery with lots of opportunity to serve. So that's who, what are they doing? Absolutely no idea. Just kidding. We wrote it on the board last week in our studying together. What is God doing? We said, filling his earth with his glory. What are we doing? No idea. It's messy ministry, but what are they doing? They are launching to become a new, healthy, disciple-making, church-planting church. They have no building yet. They have no paid pastor. I'm guiding them. They are setting up their own elders. Ryan Burton will be the lead teacher, and he is a phenomenal teacher. But they will be a beautiful church. They will have intimate, incredible, loving community that will be so incredibly attractive. The lonely, dark world will be flocking to this. Where are they going? Most of them live near Captain Shreve, Riverside, LSUS. And the desire of their heart is to replant one of the churches in and around that area. We have been in talks with two of those churches, and we haven't quite, this is slow moving business. We haven't quite gotten there, but until then, we're not waiting. We are the church. They are going to be the church, and they will be meeting in one of the members' homes. They will appoint elders. They will be a covenant community. They will have someone teaching the word. Multiple people will help teach the word. They will be responsible for being the church, the ministers. Every member is a minister. It's just like we started 18 years ago, Norse Ferry, 10 people in our living room. We had no idea. Our first name on record with the governing authorities was Providence Community Church. We thought we were going to be in there. But that's the nature of church planning and replanting. So why are they going? Well, hopefully you know by now after the message, they are going out of obedience to the Great Commission, and they said, we want to see God's glory spread throughout the community in which we live. Imagine that happening in their community. Marriages saved, children being restored to Christ, children being raised to love Jesus, people repenting from sin and coming to faith in Christ and participating in this glorious commission to spread the glorious, transforming gospel of Jesus Christ to their friends, their families, and their neighbors. And what if we had those churches all throughout the city? That's what God's called us to do, to transform this city, not just through political involvement, that's important, but God said, make disciples in healthy churches that multiply. So now I want to commission them. So I invite you guys to stand. Core team, please stand. And like Jesus did that day, he said, all authority in heaven has been given to me. Go and make disciples. That authority has been passed down through Jesus Christ and his churches. And so all authority under heaven has been given to you to go and make disciples where you live and throughout this city and beyond. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey all that he has commanded us. And know this, God is with you and we are as well. I invite you all to stand now, and I ask you guys to just spread out. Some there, some there, some there. Spread out. Come on, start moving. And they're going to put their hands, and we're going to pray on you. So y'all, Carson, lead them down to that end. Dana, y'all take this in. Y'all get that in. Get near the church. Let them put hands on your shoulders. Church family, some of you are near them. Y'all go down the aisles. Go on and get close to them. Church family, put your hands on them. And we're going to pray together. All right, they're coming up front. Y'all come up front over here. Jared, lead a team right here. Please. All right. Everybody find somebody to put your hands on. Robert, put your hand on Ryan's shoulder right here. There you go. All right. Everybody put a hand on somebody. If you can't, that's okay. Hold your hand up. Y'all hold your hand up and we'll pray together if you're not touching somebody. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, this church body, by your grace, has raised up these men and women. They were baptized into this community of faith as they came to know you as Savior. They have been raised up, and now we have the glorious privilege to send them out to make disciples in the community in which they live. And they will join us in the greater effort of multiplying the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the transformation of this city and beyond. And we know that you are with us, and you alone can make this happen, not for our glory, but for your own. And so we send them out in your name for your glory. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.